Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Today, Veterans Day, is a day of remembrance. And we salute all of our heroes, those on the battlefields and those on the home front. But the fight has changed. 5 years ago, it came to our shores when, on September 11, 2001, the World Trade Center in New York City was bombed. Today, we remember all those valiant people who fought and survived the pain and those who were lost.
We're here today at the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia with Steve Frank, Vice President for Education and Exhibits, to view a very moving and important exhibit. Steve, can you tell us exactly how this all happened, how it originated, and whose idea it was?
Thank you, Jill. The exhibit is called 9/11, A Nation Remembers. And the exhibit is about public commemoration of what happened, the attacks. It's not about the attacks themselves, but the way the attacks have been remembered by those who lost loved ones, by those whose friends may have perished, and by ordinary Americans. So it's really an exhibit about how 9/11 has affected our nation. And it's also the record of a remarkable journey by the photographer Jonathan Hyman, who for 5 years has been doing nothing besides taking these pictures of public memorials of 9/11. He started out the day after the attacks, took one or two pictures, realized that there was something special going on, a conversation, a national conversation about what had happened. And he continued taking pictures for 5 years, every day. He took approximately 15,000 pictures, and we have on display here at the National Constitution Center 100 of them that represents what he saw and the conversation he overheard.
Did he choose the pictures for the exhibit or the items? Because you have another very fantastic moving item on the wall here, the American flag. But
one of the great things about working for a museum and working in this kind of a creative environment is that a lot of creativity is brought to bear, so that Jonathan and a curatorial team all participated in the selection of the photographs. Late in the curatorial process, we were approached by Bill Markert, a retired Philadelphia police officer who had volunteered for the recovery effort at the Freshkill Landfill on Staten Island, where all of the material removed from the pit at Ground Zero was processed. One of the things he found was a tattered American flag, and he had it preserved as a memorial, framed, and we have it on display here. It's really a very powerful, remarkable artifact.
Not only that, but one would almost think, if one didn't know, that it was from the Revolutionary War or something, you know, of times past. But I guess history repeats itself in a sense. This flag is extremely, it's just amazing that he found this and thought enough to preserve it in such a way.
One of the interesting things about the exhibit, I think, is that it really is a commentary on one of the darkest days in American history, but it's also a commentary on American resilience. And America has weathered lots of dark days. And this exhibit doesn't just put the attacks in your face. It also, in a way, and this is odd to say about an exhibit about memorialization of such a horrendous act, is uplifting and inspirational, because it's also about American resilience. And I think that resilience, you know, the fact that that flag is still there,
tattered and torn and fantastic,
is a testament to the American spirit.
Yes, it's amazing.
And this exhibit is a testament to the American spirit. The exhibit really reminds us of that swell of patriotism, that unity we all felt in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, the feeling that we were all somehow in this together. That comes through very strongly in Jonathan's photographs.
Now, when you walk in, you see the flag to your right, then you see in front of you, this is probably a picture of the Shanksville site.
It is. We had it blown up to mural size because we felt that it captured what the exhibit was all about, which is about remembering 9/11. There are two people standing in the field at Shanksville looking at the site where Flight 93 crashed, and there are some memorials around the edge of the field.
And also they are holding hands. It's an older man and woman, and he's wearing a jacket. On the back of it is "Never Forget," I guess. They will never forget. This is it's a very homemade kind of rough memorial, but it is terribly moving, terribly moving. Now, Jonathan Hyman has written, in his own words, you know, I guess certain captions to the pictures.
Also part of the fun of putting the exhibit together. What we did was tape record Jonathan, and then based on the transcript of what he had to say about the photographs, create labels that explain their significance in his own words.
How long did it take to actually put the exhibit together physically?
This exhibit was on a fast track. We worked on it for about 6 months before it opened.
It's beautifully done. There are quotes along the way as well on the walls, and of course pictures, some of which I guess we have seen before, or similar pictures, but there is a presence about these. And when you walk through the firehouse, engine 43, ladder 35, an important one.
Let me point out another one here, this missing poster, a photograph of a missing poster. These were some of the first memorials to be created, because these posters kept going up long after people realized that no one was coming out. There was going to be no finding these people, and yet their photographs, the fact that they were missing, continued to be posted all around Ground Zero. And Jonathan believes, and I think he's right, that this was the first way their deaths were being commemorated. So we start the exhibit with some of the most immediate responses, and then we go on through the exhibit to show some of the other material that has been created.
And these are young people, if you look at this. They're all young, young and vital. And
we knew that the material would be affecting. We saw that immediately when Jonathan brought the photographs to us. We've been surprised by how strongly people have been affected. The gallery during the day is generally silent, even when it's filled.
Well, that's what there's a hush that falls over everything. You can feel it. They had put flyers up all over the city, not just on the site. Oh, my goodness, look at this. Babysitter needed.
Jonathan talks about this photograph,
goodness,
which shows a shop window with a front page from the New York Daily News, a picture of Osama bin Laden, and the headline, "Wanted, Dead or Alive." And then juxtaposed to it, next to it, is a sign requesting a babysitter. So notwithstanding what had gone on, life goes on.
My goodness. A Bronx parking lot, they turned that into a memorial as well.
Many of the images that that Jonathan captured are murals that were painted in New York City. They went up all over New York to remember the attack. They expressed the anger, the grief, sometimes the desire for vengeance, for justice. And some of them are quite elaborate. But Jonathan took photographs not only in New York. He traveled as far west as Chicago and up and down the East Coast, documenting this conversation that he saw happening as these public memorials were created.
Well, it's a public grieving because people do have to express themselves. If you don't, it's not good. And you express yourself in many ways, but this was very, very public and very personal as well, and even so. And it also reflects the picture of America, of what America looks like. I mean, you have your big cities, and then you have your rural areas, and look at this roast beef dinner. American Legion, halls, firehouses, and the like felt compelled to say something that referenced 9/11. And this was God Bless America.
It's interesting, Jill, what you had to say about the grieving process. That is part of what is captured in these photographs. We had a special visitor to the exhibit over the weekend, Dr. Phil, and he commented on exactly that aspect of what's going on in these pictures. It's pictures of people healing themselves, recovering.
Yes. Which is a very healthy thing to do. It's painful, but it's one has to let it out, and for as long as you have to, I guess.
And it's one of the things I think that makes this exhibit special. I think people tend to think, oh, a 9/11 exhibit, it's going to be upsetting. I don't know if I want to see it. In a very interesting way, this exhibit is uplifting. Another comment that Dr. Phil had about it.
Well, the other thing is it also reveals the personality of our country. I think we tend, if we're from a big city, perhaps, to kind of insulate ourselves. New York is a very big city, and New York is usually our very, they feel that there is no world outside of New York. They're very provincial in a way. But this is the whole world outside of New York, and the whole world together. I mean, it's really a sign of solidarity as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the exhibit, in a very direct way, reminds us of that feeling of solidarity that we had, and really asks us to think about, you know, where has it gone, you know, 5 years later?
Well, it hasn't gone, I don't think. I think this is an example of the fact that the feeling is still there. I think the fifth anniversary of this, if you want to call it an anniversary, the commemoration of the fifth year, was more moving, it has been said, than the years in between. For there was something about that 5 years, and still there's a pit there. Mm-hmm. I mean, something has to be done and probably will be done. But to me, this is so, all of these pictures are very, it's almost like folk art in a way. They're handmade, these memorials. They're not slick and glossy. Everything is done by the people themselves.
That's exactly right. And that's what Jonathan has discovered. He calls this a new Americana. Exactly.
Yes,
a folk art.
Absolutely. It's really unbelievable. A firefighter, Chan Rivera, with Towers tie. That's a tie that they made commemorating the event. Is that it?
Many of the people depicted in the photographs are firefighters, police officers, first responders.
You know, I think every person should come and see this. I think it's as you say, it's stimulating. It makes you proud of your country and of the people that live in your country. And the fact that things don't go unnoticed. Things are not forgotten.
Yeah. One of the questions we ask here at the National Constitution Center is what makes us American? And we give responses to that in lots of different ways, both in our permanent exhibit and in our special exhibits. And this is one response to that question.
Well, it's a very diverse population in the United States.
I should say it's one set of responses to that question, because
yes,
it's no one thing.
Now, this is written panels.
This is in Washington, D.C., and it's by workers in the museums on the Mall, the National Gallery of Art. There was a wall up, and they created a really remarkable panel in the aftermath of 9/11. And the attacks on the Pentagon, we should remember those as well.
Well, I was going to ask you do some of these...
Well, you know, we intentionally opened the exhibit with the image of the field in Shanksville to remember that the attacks really were in Washington, in New York, and those who died in Shanksville.
Now, here's an interesting thing. People have created ways of remembering and honoring. Here's a tattoo that this is a New York firefighter.
There are a number of pictures of tattoos in the exhibit, some of them quite extensive. You'll see one where a firefighter had his entire back tattooed, and there's an interesting story to tell about that tattoo. But many of the tattoos you see are firefighters who lost colleagues and wanted to remember them in the most personal way possible and created these very elaborate and moving tattoos.
And they're wearing them, I mean, and those don't come off.
No.
Here's a pickup truck with a picture, the skyline and the towers. I remember the skyline of New York before the World Trade Towers were up. And, of course, now they're gone again, and it's I don't know what they're going to do, but I think they have finally come up with a very beautiful design that is more of a memorial and less of a functional building.
Yeah. I think one of the more inspiring images in the aftermath were the towers of light that took the place of the World Trade Center. And we're coming up to a photograph where someone has actually depicted that on the tank of a motorcycle.
Isn't that beautiful?
The New York skyline with the towers of light. And on the other side of that motorcycle tank is a picture of the three firefighters, the three responders raising the flag in the pit.
There are many things that were done. I don't even think that people realize how many things were done. Now here is was there America's Ride? Was there something?
That was a motorcycle ride across America to raise money for the victims' families. And we have a picture here of the motorcycle riders gathering on the lawn of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. There's an interesting story about this image of the doll shoes painted as American flags. This was a gentleman who lost his wife about the time of 9/11 and wanted to remember her and to link the two events. She had been a doll collector, and she had hundreds of doll shoes as part of the collection, and he decided to paint them all as American flags, and that's what's depicted in this photograph.
That's fascinating. What comes out is the artistic bent of a lot of these people. I mean, they may not consider themselves artists, but somehow what they've done is so artistic.
It's interesting because we can look at another photograph and find someone who actually discovered that he was an artist in the process.
Isn't that something? This one.
This one here, the Eagles, painted by Joe Indart in New York City. He painted many 9/11 murals, and he had not been a muralist before. It was this event that he wanted to commemorate that brought out that kind of artistry.
A hidden talent.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to say it, but a lot of great art has been created, and that goes for music as well, and literature, because of crisis and pain.
And I think one of the hallmarks of great art, and I think it's reflected in this exhibit, is the ability to bring something positive out of that pain, something in the end that's inspirational. And I think that's very true of these photographs.
Well, it's the magic spark, the human spark of creativity, and as you say, hope. You really find that this is not, people did not just not do anything. They just had to do something. This is a beautiful one. And this looks like a painting on the door.
And again, this is a Joe Indart mural on the door of a firehouse.
9/11 imagery. I guess that's going to be coined.
One of
as
the
an
things that Jonathan has identified is a kind of new iconography surrounding 9/11, and the eagle, the flag, the towers are very important elements in many of these pictures. The curators who worked on this exhibit, Lynn Klein, Melissa Carruth, Sarah Winsky, they were very thoughtful about the way they arranged the photographs. And the final sequence of photographs talks about fading memory, how some of the murals that Jonathan depicted have been painted over and are no longer there, and what that says about memory of 9/11 and how it's constantly evolving.
Well, you know, this is this whole discussion of should we forget, should we forgive. It's a very hard thing to do, especially when you're personally touched, I think. But there is a healing process.
One of the motifs in the exhibit is we remember. So it will never be forgotten. The memory will be created and recreated, but it won't be forgotten. This is a remarkable,
beautiful, incredible mural.
That is no longer there. And the picture to its right shows it having been painted over. Someone was so angry that this gorgeous mural had been painted over, this gorgeous reminder and very uplifting.
Beautiful, beautiful mural.
Of the landscape towers, with the Twin Towers standing and painted as flowers.
There's the building there and
stars in the sky.
Oh, my.
Beautiful colors. Well, it was painted over at some point. Someone got so angry that they took some paintballs and threw them at the building so that you see a red, white, and blue paintball thrown at the building in protest.
Who allowed that to be done, to paint over it? It's incredible.
Yeah. And as you say, hope is one of the motifs in the exhibit, and we ended the exhibit on a note of hope. There's a remarkable mural and also a light sculpture with the word hope spelled out in lights, and that's the final exhibit in the final photograph in the exhibit. And it's also my favorite label, because the story that Jonathan tells about this is that there's another light piece called Love, just about 500 yards away, although it's in a different neighborhood, separated by a road. And he was told that there was a third piece called Peace, but he never found it.
What a commentary.
Yeah.
What a very profound commentary. Here you have a memorial fence, and this is what, a replica of what?
These are actual tiles from a fence in New York on 7th Avenue and 11th Street where people were being commemorated. And what we do is offer visitors to the exhibit the opportunity to create their own tiles, add them to the fence, and then if they like, they can either take them with them, or they'll be taken to New York and put on the fence in New York as memorials and added to that fence so that people will have a way to express themselves in the exhibit. That's important to us as well.
So anyone can do that?
Anyone can do that who visits the exhibit.
You've said it all, actually.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you,
Jill. Pleasure. There's very, very little to say. All I can say is that it's a spiritual experience to come to the exhibit. It's a calming experience as well.
Well, thank you.
And it's beautiful, and you should be really congratulated for even thinking about doing it.
We were very pleased. Thanks.
Really wonderful. How long will it be up?
It'll be on display until January 1. So people should take the opportunity, because it is a limited time, and it won't be on display after that.
No, and there will not be a traveling exhibit? Have you thought about that?
This particular exhibit will not travel, so the opportunity is here in Philadelphia
now
to see it.
Till January 1st. Wonderful. Steve Frank, thank you so much. A real pleasure.
Thank you, Jill. It was fun.
Yeah.